freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. Bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
June the 23rd, 2015. My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio, your alternative to the corporate narrative and agenda. We've had 540 Americans killed by police officers so far in 2015. We have had 59 police officers killed in the line of duty, but only 16 of those have come. We also have had 1,208 people in the city of Chicago shot, 209 homicides in the city of Chicago. We've heard a lot about gun control the past few days. Well, Chicago has fairly strict gun laws, some of the strictest in the country, and we've seen 1,200 Americans killed. Or 1,200 Americans shot, excuse me. 200 Americans killed. Either way, the laws aren't working. As always, in the studio, our wonderful producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. How are you doing tonight, Shannon?
Absolutely wonderful. I'm going to go get me a flag tonight.
Oh, buddy. That's all anybody can talk about right now, isn't it?
Well, we've got, so far in my household, we've got the flag t-shirt, we got a flag hat for each one of us, we've got a couple of the flag sandals that have just recently come out, we've got a flag toaster, I got a flag blanket, I got four bumper stickers and I only have two cars. We did it completely up. I really think
sock shoes.
Yeah. I'd like to go ahead and at least get the elephant out of the room. I'll tell you what, yeah, go to that.
Go ahead and jump in early tonight. Area code 717. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
I'm Steve. I'm from Pennsylvania.
Steve from Pennsylvania. How you doing?
All right, man. I've been following your guys' Facebook posts a lot. This is the first time I'm calling into your show, but it's not the first time I've called into an alternative media show, as I've called into InfoWars in the past. There's a couple things I like to talk about. They're probably in current events now. With this Charleston shooting that happened, I was looking through a lot of videos on YouTube as of late about Charleston because I have family that lived down in South Carolina. So I'm trying to do as much research as possible. Now, I've looked into Sandy Hook, I've looked into Boston, I've looked into a bunch of other other events that I believe our government is behind, and I believe that the mainstream dinosaur media is going along with in pushing for certain agendas that are going on. With that being said, down in Charleston, there's a center down there. It's called the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. It's in Charleston. And I've seen these little clips on the YouTube video of this training drill that they had as an active shooter threat instructor training program that they had going on 15th of June to 19th of June, which was this past week.
Yeah.
Going on the same time as this shooting in Charleston. And I think people need to, you know, get that out there. I think that people need to hear that, because the fact that, you know, our government has been involved in staging false flag terrorist attacks, bombings, and shootings for a very, very long time. It's just that they keep amping up everything now rather than, you know, doing one here and doing one there. They're doing this stuff almost all the time now.
Well, let me jump in real quick, because one of the things that struck me, and again, 9 people got murdered, regardless of how it happened or what source it came from or what story may or may not come out later on. 9 people have passed away, and that is a tragedy. However, that being said, anytime that you have a politician is murdered in such a fashion, and the theatrics, I don't know if the noise has been so loud about this, and now we're even starting to move away from that subject, and we're talking about this whole Confederate flag thing, which apparently is a byproduct of this. But it really, the theatrics of it just really smacked of just, I don't know, I didn't trust it as soon as I saw it.
And here's the thing with the whole thing about the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag was really about when states separated from the Union because of the fact of Northern aggression and states' rights, the federal government pushing over states' rights constantly back in those days, and they're doing it now. This is still going on today, where the federal government is pushing over state sovereignty. They're pushing it to the side.
Right. For me, as far as the flag conversation goes, like, and you know, everybody's talking about it right now, to me, it just seems like such a massive distraction, because we're not sitting here talking about the 9 people that were killed. We're not sitting here talking about the lunatic kid and that we know the psychotropic drugs he was on. We're not discussing any of that. We're not talking about the hate. We're not talking about how to solve anything. We're talking about a piece of cloth. And to me, that is just such a massive distraction, because if the flag comes down, okay, well, what have you solved? Nothing's
absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So to me, like, is it a conversation that this country needs to have? It probably is, but I don't think this is the time and this is not the event to have it. Because there's way more important issues, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's one thing. Ever since, you know, the start of the Federal Reserve, we've all been enslaved. Every one of us, even the high-ranking officials in our government, they're still pushed around and basically made to follow the agenda of the global bankers and the corporations. And now corporations are now considered people and now can vote, which I think is horrendous, just because of the fact that corporations don't raise families. People raise families. Corporations don't vote. There's nothing in the Constitution about corporations having been in the Bill of Rights. That's for the people.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
With everybody saying, oh, the Confederate battle flag is a sign of racism or a sign of slavery, look at the Federal Reserve. They print out money out of thin air, and it's not backed by anything. It's paper. It's not backed by anything. Oh, it has numbers on it. Whoop-de-doo. It's not backed by anything. Not backed by gold, not backed by silver, not backed by any sort of precious metals or anything anymore. It's printed off, and then we get charged derivatives and everything from it, and we get charged interest on it, and it's printed out thin air.
Yeah.
And the Rothschild family has been around. Excuse me.
Yeah,
the Rothschild family.
We got a guest coming up here on the show in just a
Please
second.
Please call back, though. Yeah. You raised some great points.
Absolutely great points. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yep, no problem. Have a great night.
So, yeah, you know, he hit on some good topics about the Federal Reserve.
And again, you know, going back real quick, going back so we can go ahead and put this thing on the table and get it done and out. The Confederate flag, we all know, and again, I say we all know, I can't really, you know, expect that from our whole entire listening audience, we do live here in Alabama. That has been a hot button issue about what the flag is and what it really stands for and what flag it really is versus this other flag. We know about the history and this, that, and the other. That's all great and fine and dandy and wonderful. Who cares? We live in 2015. All right? That is, and again, we can respect it for what its history was, what its heritage was, and this, that, and the other. But nowadays, it's just it's a symbol of something that means something pretty
sinister.
Pretty sinister, people.
Well, I tell you what, we all know how I feel that I would rather vomit on myself right now than continue talking about this flag because there's so much more important stuff
absolutely
going on.
Let's turn that noise way down. Let's talk about something real.
Right now, I want to bring on one of our amazing writers who has a fantastic article going up on the antimedia.org in the morning. Claire Burnish. Claire, how are you doing tonight?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Okay, I'm going to let you go ahead and jump into everything and explain to everybody what you have coming out in the morning.
Well, the Pentagon came out with their Law of War manual on the 12th of this month, and it seemed to largely fly under the radar, and there are some rather startling entries found in this manual. It's ostensibly the law to govern how we are to behave in times of conflict and war and, you know, what weapons we can use and things like that.
And real quick, I don't want to cut you off, but this is, just so people know, this isn't like a manual they update every year. This is something that they hadn't updated in decades.
Right. This the last time there was an actual Law of War manual put out was 1956. And this was actually 25 years in the making because there were calls to have this actually updated and redone in 1990. And that just never happened until now. So this is actually a really big deal. And these are supposed to be the legal boundaries for how we behave in war. So the things that I found inside were rather alarming, to say the least. For one, they have now considered journalists as unprivileged belligerents. And this is like it's a huge departure from just taking journalists as civilians. This is the same category that they classify Al-Qaeda. And that's kind of a big deal, although they downplay it, and the people who've picked up on that little label have also downplayed it a little bit because they say, you know, there was an attack by Al-Qaeda on anti-Al-Qaeda government members, I think it was, because they were posing as journalists. So they say there is a reason for that clause, but, you know, whatever.
And to me, it's kind of similar a little bit in the wording of the NDAA, where it's kind of saying, we're not going to do this, but we can if we want to.
Exactly. So yeah, they put it out there, and it just kind of sits there and waits for the chance for something to happen, you know?
Right.
So that's now on the books. But there were some even more, I don't know, frightening things to be found in the weapons that we are now legally allowed to use, supposedly. Not that we weren't using them anyway. But for one, there were cluster bombs. Cluster bombs fall under the lawful weapons category in this manual. And those are internationally banned weapons because once the originating bomb goes off and explodes, all the individual ordinances kind of distribute in the path. I read somewhere it was like the size of a football field where they can be deployed. And many of them don't go off. And what happens is the civilians run across them accidentally or children discover them and think they're toys and start playing with them, and they end up, you know, losing limbs or their life. I mean, they're just a really terrible, insidious weapon.
One thing that's amazing about the cluster bombs, though, and I don't know if most people realize this, a lot of the crimes that they accused Bashar al-Assad of in Syria is using cluster bombs. And,
exactly.
And they go on and on and on about his use of cluster bombs, and yet we're turning around saying, oh, we can do it, that's fine. But when he does it, they want to, you know, overthrow the country.
Because our intentions are good, of
right,
course,
right,
as they always
are. We're killing people for the right reason.
Yeah, for the right reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and it's even worse, too, because I wrote an article earlier on our U.S.-supplied cluster bombs being used in Yemen. And our government supposedly expressed a bunch of outrage about this and said that they were going to investigate, you know, if that was supposed to be true. Because ostensibly, U.S. policy about cluster bombs is that we can manufacture them, but we are not allowed to use them, only export them to other countries who agree to only use them in times of war with minimal civilian casualties and injuries.
We can only make money off of them. We just don't use them. Wow.
Exactly. But what is disturbing about finding them under the lawful weapons clause in this manual is that that kind of belies the fact that it's not just an export policy that we have. Suddenly, it's legal now that we use them too. That just doesn't groove. You know, we're supposed to be stopping our exports on cluster bombs by 2018, but suddenly we're now legally allowed to use them according to this manual. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't jive.
Right.
So, and then let's see.
I know there was another big point that I guess it started in, 2004 in Iraq? And
yes.
Yeah.
Depleted uranium weapons.
This, to me, is the most terrifying part. I'll let you explain to everybody.
Yes. This is really terrifying. Depleted uranium is just a really evil weapon. I'm not really sure how it is that we justify using it. There are calls around the world for it to be banned. There has been a large effort internationally to have depleted uranium as a weapon banned from use. And where was it? I think... many countries have actually instituted their own bans on depleted uranium, and yet we still managed to use it anyway. And now it's on the books as a legal tool of war. And it has caused, in Iraq at least, documented cases of cancer rose 40 times what they were before we invaded Iraq. So, you know, supposedly we've been using depleted uranium this whole time, and even though we kind of claimed that we weren't. And the worst part about this cancer rate is that even though it's 40 times greater than it was before we invaded, the way the health system works in Iraq is that it's a public system that's partially private. So any private cases of cancer aren't necessarily reported to the government, and those figures are only going off of the publicly reported cases. So it could be, you know, twice as high. We don't know.
Wow.
What I would be curious to know is how many of our veterans came home exposed to depleted uranium and all the ammunition. I mean, I don't think that the uranium had to wait to be fired or discharged in a weapon to actually be able to expose anyone who was handling it. I mean, you know, what numbers do we have on that?
I don't actually have the numbers on that because I was so focused on the whole targeting of civilians, you know, with the weapons and how they're exposed to it. But that was mentioned as a very big problem. You know, plenty of veterans come home with issues because of depleted uranium too.
Yes.
And yet somehow it's still painted as when we fight in wars, there's always, we have the consciousness of human rights, and yet
right. The
record dictates the opposite, and then people will say, well, that's conspiracy. So now we have the Pentagon putting out a manual that details that it's not conspiracy at all. This is all happening.
Right.
And who's going to tell America no at this point? Who's going to step in and say, well, you know what? You didn't follow your own guidelines. Shame on you. We haven't done that for the longest. We've already mentioned several anecdotes here.
Right. This is craziness to me. We keep saying that we're like the biggest human rights, you know, advocate on the planet, and yet we've been violating human rights for, you know, forever. And then here we go and put it in a manual as a legal weapon of war and say that, you know, that's okay because we're doing it and because we spend so much money on the military and because we're, quote-unquote, saving the world. Then it's okay when we do it.
So what happens? Ridiculous. What happens? America goes and invades a country, and they hand them a copy of this and say, "This is how it's going to go down."
We wrote this manual.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what purpose this document serves, because we know America's going to do whatever the hell they want to anyway, just like they always do.
Well, the thing that's amazing to me about it is, you know, it's how brazen the manual is, because clearly the government would never lie to anybody.
Oh, no.
So to me, it's just like, y'all really just going to, like, put this in black and white and paper? Like, you know, I assumed you're going to keep doing this stuff, but now you're just telling us you're doing it.
Yeah, but I think they've got the chance to be that bold. I mean, it seems like that's the way it's been working with police violence. I mean, at first it was kind of like a hush-hush sort of problem, and now it's in everybody's faces. And even, you know, when police murder people, they get away with it. And
they
now the government's kind of just following suit, like with the military. It's kind of like, well, we're doing it anyway. We might as well put it on the books for everybody to see because we're going to get away with it anyway.
Here's the difference in that, though. We have seen a little bit of resistance with the whole police brutality issue.
What's going on in Cleveland right now is huge because the citizens have actually
But I think the reason that is because, you know what, it's happening here in the United States. These are people's family members. This is something happening here, and this is something visible they can see. Stuff that happens outside of these borders, people are just like, whatever. Yeah. Whatever you got to do. We don't care.
Manny has brought up numerous times about what's truly going on down in Mexico right now.
Right.
That gets zero airplay on CNN.
Nothing outside of these borders gets airplay,
et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth.
Well, and the thing with this manual too, that's also slightly dangerous, but I didn't bring up in the article because it's not, you know, it's not very solid. But it's not just actual acts of war. It's not just actual wartime official conflicts or anything like that. It does not say that this behavior, this. You know, these weapons, it doesn't say that they have to be used internationally. It actually specifically says that anywhere there is a conflict, these rules apply. And that just kind of leaves the door open for just about anything imaginable.
So what you're saying is it does not define a war zone as outside of this country.
No, it actually specifically does not.
So in theory, cluster bombs, shooting journalists, using uranium could legally, by the Pentagon's definition, happen in this country.
It's
maybe
technically it seems like that would be a yes, because it actually says that it's not like it's not dependent on the location being an international state. It's dependent on where the conflict exists. So if the conflict technically existed within the country, I don't know. I mean, it just leaves too much room to be played with, like language usually does with government policy.
Now, what is their definition of conflict in this regard? Because obviously it doesn't have to be declared war, because we haven't declared a war since World War II.
I see what you're getting at. Right. I see what you're inching your way into.
Right. I mean, could they just do this tomorrow and go, well, we wrote this book?
Absolutely correct.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it leaves the possibility open for anywhere there is an enemy of the state, and they even say specifically, you know, national liberation movements and, you know, things like that, wherever there is, you know, ostensibly a terrorist group that we need to fight, then that's where these rules would apply. So potentially, yes, if that occurred in this country, by the language in this document, I don't see any reason why this wouldn't apply.
Well, that's the most terrifying thing I've heard today, so thanks for that, Claire. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm a lawyer. I'm not telling you the truth, but I'm just telling you the language that I read in this. That's what it says.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's great.
Well, I tell you what, thank you so much for calling in tonight, Claire, and giving the rundown on that article. That is just huge information that's coming out, and will be out tomorrow morning on theantimedia.org.
Check it out. A great read.
Yeah.
Oh, man, awesome. Riveting.
Yeah, it's a wonderful article. And thank you again so much for all your work, Claire. You've just done amazing work for us.
Thank you. Have a good night, guys.
You
Take
too.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. So, yeah, that to me is a little bit bigger than discussing a flag, as we're discussing that the Pentagon has released a manual that says we do what we want.
Got four bumper stickers, and I only have two cars. We got a flag blanket. We got a flag blanket, a little dog bed for the dog.
Meanwhile,
that little thing you're talking about, the Pentagon, don't worry about all that. That's got nothing to do with that.
And the thing about it is, it's the whole cluster bombing. I mean, the whole thing, like targeting journalists. Like, where do you even begin to become outraged?
One of my favorite terms in the, because I got a chance to see a sneak peek of the article, perks of being a member. And I'll tell you one thing right now, the non-blinding lasers. That was a really good one. you know, we've discussed it quite a bit on this show here recently, the new laser gun technology that they have that has been broadcast pretty much from all of the heavens. There is definitely no way that you're going to get around them. They're on drones now. They're on warships. I don't know if they're being tested for aircraft right now. I would certainly think so. But, you know, it really just kind of goes back to what I said to Claire a little while ago, that, you know, it really doesn't matter. America can say or do whatever they say, that, you know, this is how we're going to go about war, and this is the official document and the official instruction manual that how we're going to go about war from here on out. But they haven't, the document that was in place before this wasn't followed or adhered to at all. So, I mean, I don't see what the big deal is. I really don't. All it is another little piece of propaganda.
But they're admitting they're doing it. That's why it's a big deal. They're doing it. And the terrifying thing is who's regulating any of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Area code 717, welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
I just called earlier. I have one more question for you guys.
Had a little bit of technical difficulties. Try to call back here in a second. Sorry about that. Chase from Birmingham, Alabama. Chase, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. This is I'm first time on this day. I'm just doing okay. But how are you, man?
Can't complain.
Yeah. Hey, dude. I agree with what y'all were talking about earlier, man. This flag thing is getting ridiculous, man. This is all anybody's talking. I mean, it's coming out of the woodworks, man. I mean, this keeps going, man, over a flag. No, there's no mourning over, you know, not anybody talking about the nine, you know, people that are dead. And, you know, they had the march on the bridge over there in South Carolina on Sunday, which was great, man. That was really good, man. But it's like there was like a little blip of it, but they going back on this damn flag, dude. It's insane, man. And there's so much issue. There's so much going on, man. And I will say, I don't think any of this is a coincidence, man. I really don't.
You know, it wouldn't be the first time. I can absolutely say that. You know, I'm still trying to go through all the info. I don't know what I think. This is what I do know. You know, coincidence, not coincidence, we're still seeing the exact same outcomes.
Right.
And we are seeing Barack Obama gets up there, you know, his first public, you know, statement about the situation, and he's talking about gun control. Hillary's come out talking about gun control. The thing that terrified me the other day, I was sitting there watching CNN. Lord, please forgive me for that. they started talking about, and to me, I haven't heard anybody else mention this, talk about this, and it just stood out to me. I didn't know what to say. I was kind of speechless watching it, but. But what it was basically is they talked about his manifesto letter came out, and they were discussing how the media was saying, okay, well, basically this kid was not racist. And then he started looking up stuff about Trayvon Martin, and then he got led here on the internet and got led here on the internet and got led here. And the next thing you know, because this guy's been on the internet, he's mass murdering people. And so,
and didn't they actually say that he's been labeled as an extremist, but didn't they actually say he had African American friends on his Facebook page? I mean, come on, man, he couldn't have been that extreme. Think about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I didn't know the kid, and I'm not going to sit here and say that he was or he wasn't. Whatever.
Yeah.
For me, though, it's the government's reaction to this. And to basically kind of give this underlying sense of we're now coming to take away your they want to push the gun control. Now, will they do it? I don't know. We've gone through this before, and they're kind of going down that road again with the internet too a little bit, because these people wouldn't – this is the sense I'm getting. These people wouldn't be dead if this kid wasn't self-educated, as they put it, as that was their term –
on the internet. So that means there's going to be regulations on that too, and it's like you're trying to go after two birds with one stone. Will they get any of that passed? You know, only time's going to tell. Just because, you know, they could have intentions for something and it still not happen. We've seen that over and over again. They definitely pushed for gun control for Sandy Hook and nothing really happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to fight the battles that are in front of us. And let's sit here and say that, you know, the craziest conspiracy is true about this, okay? And yeah. It's some huge false flag, and the goal is to do this and to do that. And let's say that, you know, everything that's been reported is fairly much accurate, and this kid was just a lunatic. Either way, they're still coming to, you know,
advance their agendas.
Exactly. So
yeah, right.
So we need to focus on what's in front of us as far as our rights and not allow a tragedy to take away our rights. And when I say that, trust me, I'm not talking about some flag. I'm talking about our God-given rights of,
yeah,
you know.
To be honest with you, I mean, this is my opinion on with the whole flag and all that crap. I don't care one way or another. I mean, that's just how I feel personally. I mean, I've never sported that flag. I don't care about that flag. That's not what's important to me. You know about this
situation.
Okay,
let me ask
you
this, though. Here's the thing. Everybody's talking about this piece of cloth. So let's talk about this. instead of, we're talking about the flag, we should be having the conversation on, first off, the prescription drugs.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, here's the one thing. How many mass shooters have we had, okay, that were wearing Rhodesian jackets, and how many mass shooters have we had that were, you know, praising the Confederate flag? Not that many.
How many have we had on Adderall,
bingo,
Xanax, Lortab?
Have we had any?
Yeah.
And a lot of these were prescriptions that were legally prescribed to them.
Right. Have we had any mass shooting that wasn't, you know, in the past 20 years that somebody wasn't on these drugs?
Yeah, they were medicated. And, you know, that's the thing, though. And I was actually just having this conversation with somebody just a little while ago before I called in that the blaming, a lot of this is blaming on all these symbols on a piece of cloth when there's underlying problems. I mean, there's something going even deeper. And there is a pattern in mass shooters and being heavily medicated. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
one thing I've definitely got to bring up, though, is the fact that me personally, I love the fact that there are still so many Confederate flags around, and I will be heartbroken if Confederate flags are banned and done away with. And the reason being is because anybody who still, in 2015, is loving and waving the Confederate flag so much, and wearing it on their shirt or their ball cap, and got the, you know, these colors don't run a sticker on their pickup truck. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I instantly see those people and see those signs and those insignias. It's like, oh man, that ain't somebody who can hang out at my picnic. And I mean, really, those are not my picnic people. And I'm sorry. I love the fact that I don't have to wade through a bullshit conversation with somebody to find out how racist and ignorant they are. I mean, that, you know, there's a sign for that. Now, you can take that however you wish, but see, the thing is that, and I understand the history and heritage and all this other crap and this, that, and the other. I was born here in the South. I was born in South Carolina, not far
from
what we're talking about. And, you know, the thing is that, okay, that's fine and dandy, but it's 2015, over 150 years later. You know, I don't have an American flag in my home because an American flag, because I'm also part Native American, also brings up some real touchy subjects as well.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not trying to be an anti-patriot here, but I'm going to tell you one thing right now. That flag right there, the American flag that's flying right now that everybody waves at school and salutes to right now, is a battle flag. Remember that, and everybody go check. Just check that out sometime and get back to me on that. Marry me on that for a little bit.
So wait, are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that I salute no flag.
Are
Try
you
that
suggesting? This is a topic that has made people very upset as of late, and that there has been many, 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 many innocent people die under the American flag.
A lot more than has under the Confederate flag, and it's also enslaved a lot more people too. Let's try that on for size.
Hey, and don't forget
Yeah, but that's it's a damn truth.
Yep.
And don't forget the stars. Don't forget some of them stars on there on the Southwest that represent the Southwest, which land that we stole that land from Mexico.
Formerly Mexico, and we're doing everything that we can to keep the people whose land we stole from them from coming back up here.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, speaking of Stephen Land, you know that football team that about 13 Saturdays every year that I'm glued to? It's in a town called Tuscaloosa. If I remember correctly, that is that's not a very European name, Tuscaloosa.
No, Tuscaloosa, where'd that come from?
So maybe there were some people there in that land before...
No, Tuscaloosa, you're thinking of Alabama Elephants, Tusk. Yeah, that's what you're thinking.
That's right.
That's where that came
that's
from.
That's right. There weren't Indians here. There were Indians, Native Americans.
Don't loosen your tusk.
Whatever. I'm from Alabama. That. I'm ignorant. Leave me alone. So anyways, the point is this land belonged to somebody, and we came through and we killed them all.
Wait a minute, we're not originally from here?
No, we're not.
No, but wait a minute, my parents used to live up in such and such state, such and such state, so I'm here, I'm all American. Yeah, remember how we all got here, all of us. Now, I'm also part Irish, too, and nobody ever talks about the Irish slaves, hello?
Yeah, it's funny, we had a meme go up the other day about the old Union Jack and about all the slaves that were brought over here under that flag. And about, speaking of actual India, think about all that. Think about the genocide.
Absolutely. But then again, I'm also part German, too, so I'll shut up now about all that.
Yeah, that's a whole different story.
That's a whole different show altogether.
Wow, yeah, I'm going to completely, whatever that is. Tell you what, let's go ahead and go to area code 313. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
This is Flora, and I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. And I just wanted to listen in on the radio blog tonight.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, so...
Detroit represent.
Yeah, I love Detroit. I think I'm the only person in the world that likes Detroit.
I love Detroit. I got a brother who lives up in Lansing right now. Hopefully he's listening. I don't know if he is or not, but he's repping Detroit pretty hard these days. Yeah,
I got to go up there and for business a couple of times. It's a great city. So anyway,
that was what she was doing, and Bob Gray Goose did. You thought I forgot
Detroit?
That story.
Anyways, we're so far off topic at this point.
Yeah. What is our topic?
I don't even know now. I'm so confused.
I don't want to talk about all this flagatry anymore. That's for sure.
Yeah, me and you both.
Christ.
Okay, so living in Detroit, what are your thoughts, being up north, about the whole flag controversy? Why am I even talking about this? I don't want to talk about the stupid flag anymore.
Everybody's talking about it. Let's get it on the table and
so
get it over with. That's the only way we can move through problems is actually talk about it.
My input is slavery doesn't really exist anymore. I mean, what is the conversation about? You know what I'm saying? Put it on.
Yeah, see, to me, like, I have absolutely no problem with getting rid of flag at all whatsoever. To me, I feel like it's like more about we're distracting from the point of view of why this kid, like, had all this hate. And I think people have kind of transferred that if we take this flag down, then people are going to stop hating each other. And this kid was just a monster and a psychopath. And I think people are trying to have an easy answer to something that's not necessarily an easy answer. Does that make sense?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, the flag is completely irrelevant. That's what I feel. And, you know, people always try to distract from what the main objective is.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You made a statement a moment ago that slavery doesn't exist anymore. Oh, it absolutely does.
I said if it doesn't, then what is the problem with taking it down? But we know that it does. You know what I'm saying? Come on now.
And again, you know, the Confederate flag in 2015 is an offensive symbol. And that's why I'm not really, I mean, you know, that's why me personally, I prefer to let them fly it, let anybody fly it, whoever they want to, because those are people I'm always going to steer away from every single time. Oh, okay, you're one of those. Okay, I'm just going to go over here and hang
especially
out.
Especially when you're in the South, you see the guy coming down the road.
I'm sorry. I'm not intimidated by it. I find no fear. It's just, no, I just choose not to associate with that person because I already know what's going to be coming out of their mouth.
But for me, here's the biggest thing, and it's like the caller said, to me, it was just completely spot on. To me, it's turned into distraction because does anybody really believe, and if I'm wrong, disagree with me, does anybody believe if that flag wasn't flying, that flag not flying would have brought, like, stopped that killing from happening? Or was this kid nuts? Was this kid crazy? Was this kid full of hate?
He didn't have a Confederate flag on his jacket.
That's my point. To me, that's such a completely different topic than why it came up.
Go ahead, you guys. Go ahead. Now, I was going to say, my husband, he's listening in, too, and he wanted to comment on something, if you guys didn't mind.
Yeah. Right. Go ahead. Come on.
Hello, fellas. This is Andre.
How you doing?
From Detroit.
Andre from Detroit.
Rep, come on, rep is one time. Detroit?
Whoop, the D.
I found what you guys are doing is, you know, is very interesting. However, I would like to ask the question, is this a form of racism?
Is what a form of racism?
This Confederate flag and what it represents, the symbolism and what it represents.
No, it's not really that. It's the people that it represents in 2015.
Right. I think it's more the flag represents the people and the people. Does that make, like, the people that are flying that flag today in 2015 are more than likely 90% of the time going to be racist.
And you're talking to a fellow that lives in Alabama, too, so you can imagine what type of people we're talking about that are flying that flag. Do you understand what
I'm saying? The flag represents the people. The people don't represent the flag, if that makes
sense.
Okay. Well, I said it like this. They're representing one another. You see what I'm saying? Because when I'm looking at it, this is completely a form of racism, or what you call white supremacy.
Yeah. Oh, the flag. I may finish.
I think that these people who represent this thing wholeheartedly are constituents of what is known as white supremacy. And you all know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're total agreeance. Total agreeance.
Yeah, and, you know, so in my mind, whether they fly this flag or not, okay, they have a freedom and a right to feel the way they feel. Okay, prejudice. But there's a thing called white supremacy, which controls one's success or failure in life. And we already know who those who are empowered that have the power to control such a people.
That's a great point. And see, for me, though, and you may completely disagree with this, and, you know, that's fine. For me, like, this conversation with the flag, we should have had this so long ago. And to me now, it's taking away from these 9 people that were killed, and it's taking away from, okay, ultimately, I think we would all agree that these mass shootings need to stop because it's just these psychopath, crazy people. And we've had so many mass shootings that have happened that didn't reference race at all, and this one unfortunately did. But what's the trigger for these crazy people? And I personally don't believe the trigger is a flag. Is it something? Should the flag come down? Yes. Is it a completely different conversation? It's a completely different conversation. And I think they're using this conversation as a distraction to keep people from getting to the root of the problem. Because people are going to hate despite...
I agree. Exactly. See, this is a distraction.
Right. Absolutely.
And the masters of deception.
Yes.
You see? They masters of deception, so they play with images and symbols.
That's it.
Well, just like a symbol of a document coming from the Pentagon saying how we're gonna do war from here on out, and we're gonna stick just to this script. And see, that's that, and again, something like that coming up in and around this same time, where there's all of this loud talk about what's going on in Charleston and loud talk about what's going on with the Confederate flag. And both of those are the situation in Charleston is absolutely horrible, gut wrenching situation. But you know, right, the volume has got turned up about the fact that we had a kid crazed and whacked out on pharmaceuticals that are all available with a prescription. You have to go to a doctor. There has to be drug approved by the FDA.
Go to your neighbor's house.
Absolutely.
But it ain't that hard to get them. It's not hard to get them on the street. It ain't hard to get it from the doctor.
It's a lot easier to get them, and they're legal too. Let's go ahead and get that.
That's the scariest thing, because we have this war on drugs, okay? We have this huge war on drugs. Well, how many mass shootings have we had in this country from people being on these illegal drugs? And how many mass shootings have we had in this country from people being on legal prescription drugs?
But there's no such thing as war on drugs, and you know, for that matter, come on.
The war on drugs is the war on non-FDA approved drugs that are not paid for and lobbied for and politicians bought to be able to.
Oh, yeah.
The big pharma is a huge, massive.
Okay, my wife wants to know what is the topic.
Because I didn't know. I was just scrolling down. What's the topic to that?
Oh, no, you're fine. This is the topic. What we're talking about.
We talk about what y'all want to talk about. We got a combo going here. I like this.
Yeah, we do. We got a good combo going on. And what I was about to say, I've lost my thoughts right now, but it'll come back to me.
Hey, that's fine. But okay, see, here's the thing. And I think you were trying to hit on this point a little bit earlier, is with the war on drugs. It's not really a war on drugs. It's a war on people. And
what? Come on now.
Right.
It's a war on us. It's a war on people. Those who are not in power, you know, or those who don't hold a particular type of finance.
You nailed it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, let me take it out of
the black thing. This is the distraction. You know, they're killing us as they've been killing us for years. You know, I'm speaking of us specifically, black folk.
But let me go ahead and tell you something right now. Now that certain things have taken place, now it's not just one shade or one race or one sex or one this, that, or the other. There is the haves and the have-nots. That is what it boils down to. And the have-nots are doing everything they can to cause
Don't believe one time the race doesn't matter.
Oh, no, absolutely. Again, we live in Birmingham, Alabama. And look, man, we got a whole museum right downtown that'll remind us how...
So can I ask one other question?
Yes, definitely.
Can you honestly agree or say that you guys, and I don't want to offend anyone, but we're just speaking about the truth of the matter and where this world lies and how it's designed around America, okay? Have you all reaped the benefits of living in this world by almost basically like handouts? And
I can tell you right now, off
the backs of my ancestors, your people have reaped these benefits. Now, I'm not saying that you guys are racist or anything of that matter or prejudice or what have you, but the truth of the matter is that your ancestors were the ones who benefited from the hard work.
I can trust
and ideas my people created.
We're here before slavery was abolished in America. The only people that, now this is speaking for my ancestry. The only people that we actually had here before them were Native Americans. I'm 1/8 Sioux Blackfoot Indian. My great grandmother on my biological father's side was full blood Sioux Blackfoot Indian. The rest of my people, as far back as I can trace, all got here in the late 1800s to early 1900s. Most of them were pretty much impoverished with indentured slavery when they got here. I personally, as far as my own situation goes, we actually moved down here from up north and didn't really know about racism or even understand racism until much later age than most of the people that I grew up with around here. And still, to this day, as a 40-year-old man, still don't quite understand it. Now, I understand what you're hinting around about, but let me tell you something about the city of Birmingham, and I want you to go check these statistics. The city of Birmingham now, the actual metropolitan area of Birmingham, is largely, I would say, is anywhere between 70 to 80% African-American. City Hall, we have an African-American mayor, a vast
and
majority of our city.
And have since 1980.
Have since 1980. Have a largely African-American city council. When you go down to City Hall, there are African-American folks throughout the whole...
Okay, I understand all that, but what does...
You gotta let me finish this for a second.
Things
have dramatically changed, and I'm talking about here in Birmingham, Alabama, which was the epicenter, the absolute ground zero for when all this shit broke loose and African-Americans began to actually get their established rights that were given to them by the United States Constitution once they touched foot on American soil.
Right.
And they were finally granted that, which I think is absolute horseshit, because who can...
Well, they say they're God-given rights. To me, it's they say they're God-given rights, and then they deprive another human being of rights. That's just insane.
Absolutely.
But that's, you know, a whole other thing, too.
But and look, I understand what you're touching upon, but you got to realize that was a long time ago, and not every single white person... That you come into contact with, their parents, grandparents, great grandparents, whatever, owned slaves or even participated in that nasty, awful business. All my folks were hardworking folks that tended to their own crops, that cleaned their own house. You know what everyone is supposed to do: white, black, Chinese, Mexican, whatever other race they're throwing at. Good people and there's bad people. The end.
Most definitely, I understand that, but. There are majority of Europeans that have benefited in this manner, in this way that I'm speaking of.
Oh, you're absolutely right. We talk about them on this show just about every single episode, from police officers to Wall Street bankers to politicians, you name it, man.
You know what I also want to say is that when we were speaking about the behaviors of these people who are committed to racism, you know, to such an extent is that the food, our food, the water we drinking, our toothpaste and stuff like that, a lot of things that we're eating and we're putting in our body is conditioning us, you know what I'm saying, to almost like to fail and to be hypnotized, you know, until this system that they've created for us.
Dang.
You understand? White impacts, browns, and also, you know what I'm saying, all sorts of kinds of humans that exist here on this earth.
Oh, you nailed it. And let me tell you, this is my perspective, because first off, just to go ahead and get this out of the way, because anybody would be a complete fool not to acknowledge this, is that people with a darker shade of skin in this country, to some... I'm not going to say advantages financially, but there is something different with it. That being said,
like, what do you mean? So how, like, with different?
For me personally, I don't know, but I know that, you know, black people and white people are treated different. To me personally,
yes.
It shouldn't
be honest. Yes.
Here's my
be
thing.
Honest.
For me, this is it, and this is legitimately it.
I like your honesty, first of all.
But for me, this is legitimately it. It really, truly is. We are all human beings. And because we're all human beings, and to me, the whole black-white thing becomes such a division that they use against us. And for me, if I see somebody or a group of people that are human beings that have a different shade of skin than me, that's not doesn't mean I'm not going to sit there and stand up for it or fight for it. We're all human beings. That's it, period.
Right.
And all these things that they use, skin color or this or that and the other, it's all division. They want to keep us divided. They want to keep what we're born divided. They want to keep the way we look divided. They want to keep us divided because as long as we are divided, then they get to keep doing what we want because we're sitting down here distracted fighting amongst ourselves while the elite just control everything and do what they want, and we're not paying attention.
Yeah, you
want to divide and conquer, man.
Slave owners,
who was that just speaking? Can I ask that? Who was that just speaking?
S.M. Gibson.
I like you, brother. I like all of y'all. But, man, I love the way you just expressed that. I mean, awesome, man, for real. Wow.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Well, I tell you what.
Exactly how I feel, man.
Well, I tell you what, thank you so, so much for calling in tonight, man. Absolute great call. And y'all be good up there in Detroit.
That's what's up.
Thank you.
Bama.
Night, y'all.
Bye.
Great call.
Man, that was good. I enjoyed that, man. And, you know, that's
great call.
That right there is, you know, we hear so much talk about racism and racism and racism. Nobody ever talks about what are we going to do to fix it. What are we going to actually do to fix racism?
I don't know if you caught the video that I posted to your page the other day, Shannon. But did you catch the one? Did you see it was the guy? His name was Daryl. Can't remember what the guy's last name was. He was a blues musician who actually befriended. He didn't set out to, like, change anybody's minds or convert anybody's minds or anything. They actually met with, he was writing a book about the Ku Klux Klan, and he actually, this is a real story, he actually befriended a bunch of these, befriended a bunch of Klan's members and actually talked with them. And within time, he became friends with a bunch of these guys, and a lot of them actually wind up leaving the Klan. He didn't set out to convert anybody. He just, it's like SM always preaches about, is love. Love. And that and all the bunch of these guys, he actually friends with a good bit of them today. It's, shit really happens, dude.
Again, communication is key. We're talking about a fellow.
Got a couple minutes left. Let's go ahead and bring on one last call real quick. Harris from Atlanta, Georgia.
Harris.
Hey, Harris Moore here. What's happening, Scotty?
How you doing?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, I'm more interested in just asking about how you guys are doing. Hey, listen, here's the thing with that last guy they called in. It's not about race anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Is that
what
he was saying?
No, I think we all completely agreed on everything.
No. Tell me what he said.
I don't know. You should have been listening a little bit better.
Well, you know, this is where we're at with it, is that now I'm going to have to get rid of my Confederate flag boxer shorts, my Confederate flag doormat, my Confederate flag towels, my Confederate flag rubber ducky.
You know, it's funny. I thought this the other day, and of course, clearly this is not true, but I had this thought. I was like, what if this was just some huge conspiracy by the flag, like the people that make these flags to sell a bunch
of
flags?
I'm telling you, man.
I didn't really think ever.
You always have, whenever something like this comes up, look at who's going to advantage and gain the most from it.
The flag companies.
The Confederate
the flag companies
those
are doing
flaggots,
it all.
Those flaming flaggots.
It's the flag companies, man.
Yeah, flaggots. That's what I'm going to start calling them now.
But it's funny because the sales have gone through the roof for these flags. I don't know why. It's like, I mean, as soon as you want to sell something, you just tell people they can't have it anymore.
I wouldn't want anybody to know I was ignorant. I'm just saying.
They're buying in mass, though.
Yeah. For what?
I don't know. Beats me.
We're
going to
make
question.
A stand.
I guess.
But it don't mean what y'all think it means, but we're going to take a stand against this. And our rights are just, but it don't mean what, we don't mean what y'all think it means. Then what does it mean? What does it mean
in 2015? We'll get into this Thursday.
Or not.
Yeah, please don't. Nick Burnaby tomorrow night on Anti-Media Radio. We'll be back Thursday. Thank y'all so much. Anti-Media out.
Peace.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.